Back to one of our top stories, the French island of Mayotte, the situation there, the search for survivors continuing after that cyclone at the weekend. Dipti's been looking through the papers for us, Dipti.
Yeah, absolutely, Stuart. It's worth mentioning that Mayotte is the poorest department of France. Food, drinking water and electricity are desperately scarce on the island. La Croix, the French newspaper here, warning about the urgency of the situation on the island. France has mobilized the army to help with rescue efforts and help a population that has been, quote, decimated by the cyclone. For Le Parisien aujourd'hui en France, on their front page, it's not a race against time, but a race against death, it says. Authorities are also very worried about a looming health catastrophe on the island because the cyclone notably destroyed many shanty towns sort of built ad hoc on the island of Mayotte. So there's a lot of worries about what the cyclone ravaging through these shanty towns could do for the health of its citizens. Libération on its front page, seeing Mayotte in pieces, or Miette, it says on its front page, evoking that very difficult task now of trying to establish the exact number of victims.
You found a piece, haven't you, Dipti, in The Guardian today. It's looking at why the island was so ill-equipped in dealing with this catastrophe.
Yeah, that's right. And The Guardian has a really good explainer about Mayotte, where its recent history as well, and exactly why it's so poor. It is extremely poor. It relies heavily on government assistance. It also had been already suffering through its worst drought ever, which had caused quite a bit of unrest among the population. Its population has also increased sixfold in the last 50 years. A large number of people are living illegally on the island of Mayotte in these shanty towns that I mentioned just earlier. Coupled with it is the feeling that France doesn't really care about Mayotte or has neglected Mayotte in recent times. Perhaps crystallized by the French Prime Minister, François Bayrou, who's facing criticism for choosing to attend a municipal meeting at his hometown of Pau in southwest France, where he's mayor, instead of attending an emergency meeting, government meeting that was being held for Mayotte. He's remained adamant that he'll continue to be mayor and Prime Minister, which he's technically still allowed to do, even though the position could create major conflicts of interest, at least according to Huffington Post.
Let's go to the UK for this next story. An alleged spy at the centre of a scandal involving Prince Andrew has been named, Dipti.
Yeah, that is that alleged spy is named as Yang Tengbo, a suspected Chinese foreign agent who was unmasked as the founder of the disgraced Duke of York's money-making venture in China. A court order giving him anonymity was lifted, which is why the papers have been able to name him now. Yang is a Chinese businessman who also funded Prince Andrew's pitch at Palace Venture in China, according to the Daily Telegraph. Now, he has denied being a Chinese spy, saying that when relations are good, I am welcome in the UK. When an anti-China stance is taken, I am excluded. Now, the Times of London explains that concerns around Yang were an open secret, but really publicly highlighted back in 2020 when a book was published about exposing how the Chinese Communist Party is wielding its influence worldwide.
Question is, why should it matter, though, Dipti? I mean, Prince Andrew has been largely discredited for quite a while now, hasn't he?
Yeah, and this is this is where it gets really interesting. It's not so much who he is, but the access that he gives. He's part of the royal family, and it's pivotal to understand that Yang's affiliation with Prince Andrew allegedly gave him access to a lot of the sort of top levels of British society, notably, for instance, in the form of Gordonstoun. That's a private Scottish boarding school that, for instance, signed a deal with the Hampton Group International, this consultancy firm that's run by Yang. The deal involved opening up to five campuses in China and Hong Kong. And this kind of example raises serious concerns about Beijing's attempt to wield influence, for instance, in this case, through British education. So that's quite interesting. In any case, the backlash for Prince Andrew has been swift. He's now been uninvited from the royal family's Christmas dinner or lunch or festivities for fear that he'll just attract unwanted attention. It seems to be something he's unfortunately very good at.
Yes, that's true. Good headline there. Let's end with something rather different. This is the rise of the noodle boys. What on earth is a noodle boy? I'm lost.
It's the New York Times who brings us this gem, Stuart. The rise of the noodle boy, you'll understand why. They refer to a young crop of male, usually white, but not always, Hollywood stars who embody a slinky alternative image to white masculinity. They're less beefy, they're more pensive, they're impish and angular. Think of Timothy Chalamet with his floppy hair that, I quote, looks like overcooked pasta. And they appear to weigh less than the barbells benched pressed by Hugh Jackman or Chris Evans at the gym. Their presence reflects a masculinity perhaps forced to change in the wake of the Me Too movement, but also an inadvertent repudiation to the, quote, something to prove CrossFit bros who populate the right-wing manosphere and whose leader of sorts, Donald Trump, is set to take office in just a few weeks' time, Stuart.
So a noodle boy is someone who's thin, basically.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And who has pasta hair, apparently.
Okay. They fall down a grill.
Exactly. Okay. You could snap them like a twig, I guess.
Okay. Dipti probably will. Dipti Kularao with a famous opera, 24.